So, as the introduction states, I'm here to discuss public health and an existential model of administration, relevance, meaning, and decision-making within public health administrative action. I do not have any relationships to disclose regarding this particular topic. The objectives for our conversation today is to be able to explain some common models of administration, evaluate the applicability of different models of administration given the contexts in which we're working, and lastly, design one's own approach for generating relevance and meaning for oneself, one's coworkers, subordinates, constituents, what have you, within the arena of public health administration. And in order to accomplish these objectives, first we're going to talk about public health problems and contexts. Then we'll move into a brief discussion, introduction to existentialism, quote, very brief methodology. This presentation is based off of previous work that actually involved the methodology, but to make sure we're all on the same page, we'll at least touch on it as we move forward. And this will bring us to the actual opportunity to explain what is this existential model of administration, and we'll conclude by comparing it to established models of administration. So, public health problems. Public health problems are not things in and of themselves. Public health problems are things that individuals and or groups care about, happen to care about, argue about, decide to do anything about, or not do anything about. As such, public health problems are public social biological issues that various competing and aligning groups of interested parties decide to do, that they're important enough to address, they're meaningful enough to address. As such, they're contextual, ever-changing, and socially constructed. Smoking, for example, wasn't a public health problem. And then one day we decided, hey, tobacco is a public health problem. It became a point in some sort of cultural evolution, political evolution, scientific evolution, where what some groups of individuals considered to be the negatives were sufficient enough to begin to argue on, from their point of view, that the narrative of tobacco is okay is a bad narrative, and we as health professionals have a better narrative of existence, which is no tobacco products in order to improve health. So it's not like it has always been there. We created, as a community, a problem, and that problem was tobacco use. As such, whenever we have these socially constructed, evolving problems, we in turn don't have necessarily clear missions and clear finish lines. More can always be done, some argument can always be posed to say you haven't gone far enough, or certain segments of the population aren't benefiting as much as others, or perhaps it was the wrong problem to target our resources at in the first place. And this brings us to a very important struggle for us as public health professionals, is the multiple worldviews involved in understanding the roles of individual sovereignty, collectivism, and government in health. Who are you to tell me how to live my life and be healthy one way or another? So these are all big challenges that we face as public health administrators. Now, to contextualize it, we can talk about chronic disease, obesity, and access to healthful foods, things we all think are, you know, sort of common, we can all rally around type topics. Well, as we all know, this is all, you know, understandable stuff for us public APHA attendees, but, you know, 75% of the total $2.7 billion in our healthcare spending goes towards treating chronic disease. Nine preventable conditions are responsible for more than 50% of deaths. Roughly 60% of the growth in healthcare spending is because of our worsening health habits, particularly obesity. And poor access to healthful foods associated with obesity and diabetes, regardless of income. And there doesn't seem to be much slowing any of these things down. So in the face of these daunting, persistent social, biological, and political problems, the idea is perhaps existentialism could offer a lens for viewing and understanding public health administrative efforts. It's not a panacea, but it's an alternative lens for understanding where we are. So, existentialism is difficult to pin down at best, and it's an abused term to the point of incoherence at the worst. So let's just think about existentialism. To the mainstream audience, they typically consider existentialism to focus on the darker part of life, the idea that God doesn't exist and morality doesn't exist, and that, you know, it suggests a quiet desperatism in the sense of without a purpose to life, without a telos, then what's the point of action? And so I love this quote from Sartre where he recalled that someone recently told me of a lady who, when she let slip a vulgar word in a moment of irritation, excused herself by saying, "I guess I'm becoming an existentialist." Which also makes me think of a joke. Sartre was in a cafe in Paris, and he was working on one of the last revisions of Being and Nothingness, and a server comes up to him and says, "Excuse me, sir, may I get you something?" Sartre says, "Yes, I would like coffee, no cream." The server says, "Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. We do not have any cream. We only have milk. Would you like coffee without milk?" For all of you Being and Nothingness readers, I hope you appreciate them. So, in order to try to put a bit of thought into what existentialism is, existentialism consists of a series of battles against attempts of classical metaphysics to envelop the individual within absolute universal systems and to reduce personkind to a set of abstract propositional terms. As such, the essence of existentialism is the refusal to belong to any particular school of thought, the repudiation of the adequacy of anybody's beliefs and systems, and the dissatisfaction with traditional philosophy as superficial, academic, and remote from life. Therefore, moving into an actual definition for this research, I have defined existentialism as a philosophical critique of dominating paradigms resulting from and taking place within the individual's wrestling of experience and activity in a non-rational, non-teleological world. As such, existentialism is a repudiation of allegiance to any school of thought, leaves that individual, in this case that health administrator, to be able to roam amongst the various schools of thought based on contextualism and pragmatism. So, where are we coming from? I did a grounded theory analysis of semi-structured interviews with senior executive service members. Senior executive service members are the highest level bureaucrat you can be before being appointed by the president. These SESers were within personnel administration, such as USDA HR, the Merit Systems Protection Board, within service administration, two SES from USDA Program Administration, and one from Department of Labor Program Administration, and lastly, one came from security, was a SES at the Department of Transportation working for the FAA. Through grounded theory is both a method and a product. On the method side, it's a system of analysis and data collection utilizing various types of coding practices that result in inductive systems being built up from the data that you collect, resulting in the product, which is a theory grounded in the empirical materials of the, in this case, interviews, that not only synthesize and interpret the information from the interviews, but actually shows processual relationships between the concepts within the interviews. So, this brings us to, okay, well, what is this existential model of administration that happened to emerge from this grounded theory analysis of interviews with senior executive service members? Well, there's a bunch of codes below these that we're not going to get into today, but the overall three themes that explain what it was the SESers were doing and experiencing and communicating in their line of work was the environment, the work, and the individual. The theme of the environment suggests that systems, networks, and organizations affect administrators' experience of organizational realities, how they perform their work, and how they interpret their social, historically influenced realities. Personal realities and organizational realities. And this sort of creates the arena for the following two themes to play out, that being the work itself, the fact that conditions and activities that compromise and influence the administrator's actual day-to-day work and overall work, and the individual, the personal human condition of the administrators that influences and is influenced by their self-concepts, motivation, and senses of purpose. Now, within grounded theory, you end up with an overarching core theme that summarizes it up. And here, through a metaphorical application of Camus' interpretation of the myth of Sisyphus, we have the Sisyphusian predicament that we find ourselves in as health administrators, wherein the environment is the predicament of Sisyphus by way of the gods, the mountain, and the boulder. For those of you all that are catching up on Greek mythology, you know Sisyphus, and you have pushing the boulder up the mountain, it rolls back down, has to keep on doing it for eternity. The idea is that the gods thought they could punish humankind with purposeless labor, and that's the worst thing for a human. So the environment is the public's health on y'all's shoulders. Day to day, pushing it up, just to always have more problems to have to deal with, more people to be caring for, more systems to try to fix. The work itself, the repetitive toil, pushing that boulder and returning to the bottom of the mountain in order to do it over and over again. And lastly, the individual. Sisyphus reflected on himself and on his work as he pushes the boulder, as he walks back down the mountain to get that boulder. The individual reflecting on his or her predicament, on the sense of meaning or lack thereof that they get from their day-to-day effort. Now, the the idea here is the fifth-person predicament ends up becoming the model for existential administration, where we have defining characteristics of what it means to be involved in public health as a health administrator. And these are the issues of never-endingness. There will always be work to do. There will always be populations to help. There will always be new diseases, new problems, new environmental conditions to have to address. Congratulations, you will die having not accomplished, you know, some sort of utopian health of public. Boundedness, wherein sort of like Herbert Simon's sense of bounded rationality, where due to our positions, we have limited sovereignty of options to respond. Due to finite human intellect, we have only so much brain power to contemplate alternatives, what have you. Finite activity in the midst of enormity and infinitude, wherein our minds are finite, but they can have a sense of the infinite, but we're never quite able to grasp that ideal rational model of all possible alternatives from which to rationally decide from. Scope and scale of one's intentions and the boundaries of one's context. Camus has this great quote where he talks about, I see a man attacking a machine gun nest with armed only with a sword, and I consider his act to be absurd. But not because of what he's doing, as much as the disproportion between the aim he has in mind and the crushing reality he will experience. So if you think you're going to go out there and save the world and create a utopian society, you will run into meaninglessness and some sort of crisis. But if we understand that we can carve out our little victories and successes, that might be enough to generate us forward. Individual experience, relevance, and significance. I'm not a Lacanian, but if you're not authoring your own narrative, somebody will author it for you. And the extent that you can author your own narrative and make one of significance, relevance, and meaning, you can also do that for those who work for you, for your organization, and for the constituents that you serve. And then lastly, the rebel and micro-emancipation is the idea that you're never going to liberate yourself from the system or your constituents from the system, but you can make things better at any given moment as you try to work towards a better health of the public. So let's compare this idea with other standard models of administration. Here we have three common models of administration: the rational model, the interpretive model, and the critical model. And on the left side, we have three organizational processes: ways of knowing, ways of deciding, and ways of acting. So within the rational model, the organizational epistemology is that of positive social science, or perhaps post-positive social science. And the arrow there signifies what they use this epistemology for is control. With positive approach to knowledge, we can control individuals, we can control the organization, and control the constituents of our organization. And when it comes to them to decide, we institute an instrumental rational decision-making process, and when it comes time to act from the rational model, we engage in instrumental action. Now, from the interpretive model, the organizational epistemology here is interpretive theory, particularly phenomenology. And here, we use this knowledge acquisition for understanding. Understanding ourselves, understanding those we work with, understanding our relationships with our constituents, and perhaps the context in which our organizations are located. And here, when it comes to to decision-making moments, this model institutes an emotive-intuitive decision-making process, resulting in an expressive action. And then finally, the critical model, based in critical social theory, where the idea here is through ways of knowing, we can find ways to liberate ourselves from domineering structures or systems. Therefore, the ways of deciding are value critical, and the way of acting is educative action or praxis, where we can educate individuals, therefore informing them of the fact that they are being subordinated by some oppressive system. And in doing so, you give them the opportunity to liberate themselves from such a system. And then finally, that brings us to the existential model that's being proposed, where because of its repudiation of any school's thought ability to encompass all of existence, there's a plurality of theoretical approaches that can be used for understanding reality. But the goal here is for meaning and reality construction, or sense-making. The ways of deciding are political, discursive, imaginative, experiential. And lastly, the ways of acting is generative action, acting in a way that generates meaning for the organization and for the constituents being served. So at the beginning, I was talking about context. And so to bring back in chronic disease, obesity, and access to healthful foods, let's think about Healthy People 2020. It has a topic, nutrition and weight status. And in it, the goal is to promote health and reduce chronic disease through the consumption of healthful diets and achievement and maintenance of healthy body weights. A clear organization involved in this type of work would be the USDA Food and Nutrition Service. The Food and Nutrition Service, FNS, is responsible for common programs such as SNAP, WIC, NSLP, and SBP, Summer Food Service, etc. So, if we're looking at the USDA FNS and their efforts to, let's say, administer SNAP or any of their assistance programs, we can reflect on what's going on using the different models. The rational model relies on the collection and analysis of empirical data in line with legislative rules and regulations, whereas the interpretive model engages the beneficiaries and the decision makers to inform understanding and service provision. And a critical model would involve the collection and analysis of empirical data through a critical lens of structures and systems at place. And lastly, an existential model would engage in organizational sense-making through whatever reigning epistemological lens is at play within the organization. Ways of deciding: the rational model would institute objectified criteria of need and appropriate administrative responses and form rational decision-making processes, most often cost-efficient or cost-effective. The interpretive model: there are criteria and administrative responses, but administrators try to apply a human touch. The critical model involves rational criteria, but contemplating the values at hand to understand what are the powers at play and who's benefiting. And then lastly, the existential model, competing and complementing narratives of need and response. And lastly, ways of acting. The rational model involves cost-efficient and or cost-effective application of program regulations. This is, if you haven't caught on by now, the cog and machine, neutral, apolitical, administrative body, just implementing what legislators legislate. The interpretive model, application of program regulations with humanity through legitimate discretion. The idea being that to the extent to which the legislation is not specific or the rules and regulations allow for wiggle room, administrators can exercise some discretion in the way they provide services to the constituents. And lastly, the critical model, act in a way that rationally addresses criteria but tempered by the prioritization of values at play within the system. And then lastly, the extension model engages in behaviors and actions that can constitute or materialize and reinforce individual and organizational narratives and self-concepts that operate within the context of policies, politics, and the public health problems. So, obviously, not any one model is arguing to be the way it works. What we're going to find is that different models can be applied to different organizations. If you were to go to the USDA in a different agency, you might find an agency works more in the rational model. Go to a different one that works more in the interpretive model, etc. But what this gives you, particularly the existential model, is multiple lenses for understanding, perhaps then informing on behaviors. This is particularly relevant given the public health problems we face are contextual, ever-changing, socially constructed, and the politics of it all makes it hard to find any finish lines and make any decisions without argument amongst everybody. Therefore, an existential model facilitates inter-theoretical utility, communication, and multiculturalism, because no one way wins out. Everything's up for argument. Pragmatism, and lastly, an opportunity to create meaning and relevance through generative action.